The Brendan O'Connor Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Care and protection for the whole family's health at All Care, taking care of communities across Ireland.
Without spectators, it's estimated that there will be about 150,000 people involved in the running of the rescheduled Tokyo Olympic Games, which is due to begin in 110 days from now on July the 23rd. Now, that includes 60,000 visitors, none of them spectators. That will include, obviously, the athletes, coaches, team officials, umpires, media, and so on. So it's a massive undertaking. And we're joined now by Lisa Du, who works with Bloomberg News in Tokyo. There may be a slight delay in the phone line. So good afternoon or good evening to you, Lisa.
Hi, Damien. It's good evening from Japan.
Well, as we speak, are the games definitely 100% going ahead, or are there any provisos at this stage?
If you are looking at it from the view of the organizers and Japanese government, it looks like it's going to go ahead. But again, you can never say never. You look at what happened last year with the postponement. It really happened very last minute. But again, you know, right now in Japan, the torch relay has started. It began March 25th, and now it's kind of going through Japan. And so for them, you know, it's kind of they're progressing towards the games. But again, I just think, you know, with an event like this, with this many people, with this many stakeholders, you can never say definitely for sure it's going to go ahead, even though I think at this point it does look more likely than it was last year.
Well, can you paint a picture, Lisa, for us of how the country or how Tokyo is dealing with the pandemic? Are businesses open? Is there any form of a lockdown? How is the vaccination rollout going?
Yeah, so Japan has, I think compared to many Western countries, Japan has dealt with the coronavirus pandemic relatively well. If you look at by numbers, there's been less than 500,000 confirmed COVID cases, less than 10,000 deaths. So really, it's like a fraction of many Western countries. And they've managed that without doing very severe lockdowns. But again, you know, they've done this also with closed borders. They haven't allowed anyone really to come in. And I think that's also helped. And so, you know, a lot of people are questioning, basically, if the Olympics happen and they let this many people in, you know, it's going to be people coming from over 200 countries, if that would kind of challenge the Japan strategy of COVID containment. Also, in terms of vaccinations, it is quite delayed compared to countries in Europe and the U.S. Actually, right now in Japan, the vaccinations are still limited to healthcare workers. It won't actually start for the general public until mid-April, and that's only going to be for those 65 and older.
So what is the feeling among the Tokyo public and the Japanese public about this, about the Olympic Games going ahead and so many people from all over the world coming into the country, which has, as you said, been, in their opinion, handling the COVID situation pretty well?
So actually, the Olympics in Japan actually has always had quite low support since it was postponed a year ago. So I think the latest polling shows only about a third of Japanese people actually support it going ahead. So I think the sentiment among actually the public here is quite negative. I think they are very worried about, you know, what may happen with the pandemic, you know, to hold an event like the Olympics, you know, the largest sporting event in the world with this many people and coming from this many places.
So there won't be much of a welcome for everybody arriving there. But what are the organisers saying in terms of dealing with so many people coming in? What precautions and rules are being put in place for the 60,000 international visitors directly connected with the Games?
Yeah, so the organisers have said, you know, that like safety and virus control measures are paramount basically to the their thinking of holding the Olympics. And they've started basically by putting out these playbooks that are on kind of infection control measures that kind of give you rules depending on, you know, if you're an athlete, if you're a support member, if you're a marketer, on how, you know, how you can dine, how you can socialize. And it's kind of effectively created a kind of bubble. Those who are coming in for the Olympics won't be allowed to really go out into Japanese society, though they can't really take public transit, things like that. And so these rule books are kind of a work in progress, and they are still finalizing them. But again, you know, we, in our reporting, we've spoken to some public health specialists that kind of signal some worry about this, mainly because the books lack the, these two core tenets of virus infection control, which is they aren't requiring a quarantine for the athletes coming in, and they also won't be requiring vaccination, which at this point in the pandemic kind of are your two best weapons at, you know, containing transmission.
Okay, so at this point, athletes and others won't have to have a vaccine, won't have to quarantine when they arrive. But you're saying that, that everybody coming into Japan for the Olympics will be in a sort of a bubble, and as you said, so will people be kept away from mingling with the local population, going out and about in Tokyo and so on?
Yeah, so it's going to be a slightly penetrable bubble. As you mentioned, it's going to be there's going to probably be over 100,000 support staff from the local community going in and out, you know, in terms of volunteers or contractors coming in to work in the athletes' village. And also, a lot of the athletes are going to be coming in early to get adjusted to the time difference. And, you know, I think they still have the relationships with the training camps in the local area. So those are areas that where transmission could happen and that could pose a danger to the Japanese. To the Japanese public. And also to add on to the COVID measures, the one thing they are requiring is that you will need a negative COVID test to come into Japan, and they are requiring that everyone gets tested every 4 days. But again, you know, many people we've spoken to have expressed some concern that, you know, these things may not be enough to, you know, prevent something like a super spreader event.
Well, obviously, for athletes going to any Olympics, getting there and participating is obviously the number one priority, and trying to do well, or just for those that have no hope of a medal, it's just actually participating. And after that, it's the idea of making friends and mixing with other athletes in the athletes' village, going to other events, and then obviously sightseeing locally as well. So a lot of that aspect of the social side of it for people going there, you're saying, is going to be clamped down upon.
Yes, exactly. And I think that's also a point of concern when it comes to, you know, virus control measures, because, you know, the Olympics are very social in nature. Places like the Athletes Village are designed for people to socialize, yet they put these rules in place to clamp down on, you know, people dining together, people talking for long periods of time. However, it's not very clear how they're going to enforce them. And one interesting thing about kind of these measures is that I think they are very, a lot of them kind of mirror the Japan coronavirus control measures, which have been slightly unconventional if you could look at it from a Western perspective. A lot of it has depended on, you know, a lot of people voluntarily changing their behavior in Japan. However, you know, how well an international athletes from, you know, many, many countries will come in and follow these rules is unknown. And, you know, as you said, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's a very social event, full of young people. And, you know, I'm sure everyone's heard of, you know, stories of past Olympics of, you know, the athletes' village becoming party central once certain events are over. So there is I think that is also a point of concern going, what if, you know, the Olympics do take place.
Okay, well, as I said, 110 days until the opening ceremony. So many a slip between cup and mouth in that regard. Lisa Du, Bloomberg News in Tokyo, thank you so much indeed for joining us on the programme.
Email brendan@rte.ie.